الله أكبر. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، سبحان الله العظيم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله. We're here at the whole time. We're going to be here inshallah till Isha. I spoke about Sudan earlier. I mentioned to you the situation in Sudan with over 30 million people. But I just want to tell you a little bit about East Africa, other parts of Africa, and why it's so important. SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah, we're in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was Ajib? I just came back a few weeks ago. And we prayed in a village. The masjid, subhanAllah, you wouldn't believe me, where Imam Sahib is sat now, as high as this, that's the height of the masjid. No roof, just made out of rocks put together. No door, nothing, just literally rocks put together. That was the masjid, subhanAllah. It was Ajib, but it was so tranquil, alhamdulillah. You could see the mountains, but this is the state our brothers and sisters were living in. And what was even more Ajib was that there was a Jamaat, there was actually a Tabligh had actually arrived in the area. And subhanAllah, today, those of us that go in Jamaat and go in Tabligh, alhamdulillah, doing amazing work. Our brothers there had traveled by foot into the mountains for days just to reach this village, and then they were going to sleep outside just to do the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the deen, to spread the message. But the reality is, alhamdulillah, we are blessed, but the situation in this part of the world, why is it so important that these brothers have to go the distance to spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The reason is because our brothers and sisters there, the reality is, practicing their deen, their iman, is not the biggest concern for them, and that's the reality. That's between them and Allah. The reason is because they do not know where their food is going to come from tomorrow, where they're going to feed their children from, where the next meal is going to come from, and that is the situation. So alhamdulillah, we have the opportunity, my brothers, to provide, inshallah, my elders, to provide our brothers and sisters in East Africa, those who have been forgotten for decades upon decades, inshallah, food for just £59 to feed an entire family for a month, inshallah. £90 to provide a water tank, provide over 200 people with water, and £30 provides a hygiene kit. If you want to provide emergency pack, just £179 will provide all of these, inshallah, food, water, and emergency kit, inshallah. But East Africa has a very important and significant place in our hearts, and it should do, because this was the land where the first hijrah took place. This is the land where the Sahaba emigrated to, did the first hijrah, migrated when they were facing persecution. And we're not talking about any old Sahaba. We're talking about the best of the best, the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ. We're talking about Jafar, Sumayya. We're talking about many other illustrious companions who undertook this first hijrah to these lands ruled by a Christian king at the time, Najashi, because of the significance of protecting Islam. Today, our brothers and sisters in this part of the world, in East Africa, are suffering significantly. We have the opportunity, inshallah, my brothers, to support them. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum.
After the Asr Salah, inshallah, there's going to be a very important talk on regarding our aqidah, our beliefs, and regarding atheism by Sheikh Nisar, inshallah. Every single one of us should attend, inshallah. Jazakallah. And after the bayan, there will be dua also, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله على كل شيء قدير صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله It is only through the grace of Allah سبحانه وتعالى that He has enabled us to gather in order to discuss the most important aspect of our religion. And this aspect is none other than the aspect of Iman and faith. Once we assess our gatherings in this day and age, then we find gatherings in which we frequently find the mention of actions of Islam like Salah, Hajj, Zakah, and Sawm. In a similar manner, we find many gatherings in which we discuss manners through which we can enhance and improve our characteristics. However, once it comes to discussions regarding our Iman and our faith, number one, we find them to be minimal. And number two, even if we do come across them, then due to underestimating them, we rarely frequent them. In the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, we find a statement in which a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala an. And now before I mention what he stated, we need to understand who we are discussing. We are discussing a companion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He is from amongst that noble, blessed, honorable group regarding whom within the glorious Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that if our faith and our iman become similar to their faith and their iman, then we have this certification from Allah Ta'ala that we are upon the correct path. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ, that if our iman resembles the iman of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا, then we most certainly are rightly guided and upon the straight path. Such great individuals that in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the hypocrites were direct statements of negativity towards them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within the glorious Quran himself would defend them. In one verse of the glorious Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this as a general principle. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah ta'ala himself defends the believers. And who were the believers at the time this verse was revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They were none other than the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is not just a principle mentioned within the glorious Quran that is restricted to theory. No, the glorious Quran shows us the manifestation of this principle Allah Ta'ala mentions regarding himself and his defense of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The glorious Quran mentions, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا. When the people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were instructed to bring faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the question is that, okay, we have an instruction of bringing faith, but which faith are we to emulate? Are we to emulate the faith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or are there other personalities who have a high caliber and status within the court of Allah ta'ala? And their caliber is so great that we can also emulate their faith and their iman. The Quran mentions that bring faith kama aman an-nas, like the remainder of the people have brought faith upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, who had believed? It was none other than the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When people were given this instruction that bring faith like the companions, their response was that أَنُؤْمِنُ كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَاءُ. Are we expected to believe like, na'udhu billah, these foolish people have believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So an attack was directed towards the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Straight after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا into practice. And he defended the companions by responding. And what was his response? His response was, if you direct negative statements towards the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever your understanding is regarding them, then that is your status in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to know your true status, then you can gauge this in accordance with how you perceive the companions to be. If they perceived the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to be from amongst the foolish, the sufaha, Allah ta'ala responded, Allah, listen aloud. You've made a major error once it comes to your judgment. According to your judgment, the companions, na'udhu billah, are foolish. Allah ta'ala mentions, Humus sufaha, those people themselves are foolish, not the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The likes of Allama Khalid Mahmud Nawarallahu Marqadahu, PhD, Manchester, he deduces and extracts a principle from this portion of this verse. And he says, in light of this verse, we understand, whatever your understanding is regarding the companions, that is what your status is within the court of Allah Ta'ala. They were of the understanding the companions are fools. Allah Ta'ala mentions, no, you are the real fools, they are not fools. And then we can extend the application. Those who say the Sahaba are kuffar, then they themselves, in light of this principle of the Quran, are kuffar. Those people who say the Sahaba were perfect believers, they in light of this principle deduce from the same verse of the glorious Quran, a perfect believers. Companions, The level of the iman was bring faith like them were told those people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. It wasn't only follow their faith, emulate their faith, resemble their faith. No. Once it comes to the deen of Islam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left the world, and Allah Ta'ala declared within the glorious Quran that the deen of Allah Ta'ala has become complete and perfect, he never mentioned al-yawma akmalta laka deenaka wa atmamtu alayka ni'mati, that the deen of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has become complete and perfect. He mentioned the plural pronoun al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, the deen has become perfect and complete upon the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told those around him that if you don't want to follow my path, despite me directing you towards the correct path, despite my efforts in this regard, then I am telling you that lakum deenukum, for you is your religion, waliya deen, and for me is my religion. In the beginning, when people turned away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's path, he mentioned your deen and my deen. And once it came to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaving the world, it wasn't my deen, it was the deen of my noble companions alayhim ridwan. Allah ne de diya unko martaba, the status they have achieved. And how greatly did they achieve their status, and what did they achieve? This perfect iman. Alongside this, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ, the excellence in their pursuit of goodness had reached such a level that once it comes to ourselves, Allah Ta'ala mentions within the glorious Quran, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ, that the greatest thing you can ever achieve, التَّنْوِينُ لِلتَّقْلِيلِ, is a little of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's pleasure. Whether I have been able to achieve that or you have been able to achieve that, we will not know until we stand within the court of Allah Ta'ala within the hereafter. But once it comes to the companions alayhim ridwan, such great personalities, Allah Ta'ala never awaited the hereafter to give them the results. Within this worldly life, Allah Ta'ala declared, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, you have passed within the examination period. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And why am I mentioning this, my brothers? From Sahih Bukhari, I am telling yourselves that Mu'adh radiyallahu an, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose iman is unparalleled. Let me explain. Within the verse, when Allah Ta'ala mentions that if you bring faith like the companions brought faith, we understand that the standard of our iman is the standard of the iman of the companions alayhim ridwan. But we cannot have that iman. It's impossible. The iman was based upon them being blessed with the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We cannot have that bounty, due to which we cannot truly resemble the iman. In our regard, this means you cannot emulate the iman once it comes to quality kayfiyah, but you can emulate the iman once it comes to kamiyah, the amount of things they believed in. This is the level of the iman. Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu, having such level of iman, mentions in Sahih Bukhari that ijlis bina, when people would walk by, and who were these people? Either companions with that same unparalleled level of iman, or if not, the tabi'un, regarding whom the narrations mention that the fire of Jahannam cannot touch the companions in a similar manner. It cannot touch the successors of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The tabi'un, when they would walk past, he would say, sit with us for a short while. Ijlis bina, sa'atan, why? Nu'min, we will refresh our iman for a very short while. What the iman? And despite that, let's have a gathering regarding iman. And once it comes to us, we think iman, na'udhu billah, is a joke. We were blessed with it from birth. Our iman is Allah Ta'ala kare guaranteed. Therefore, we need to work upon amal and khuluq. My brothers, when the companions, despite the quality of the iman, had this concern regarding the iman, that they would have gatherings regarding refreshing the iman, imagine the amount we need to have gatherings in order to refresh and maintain our iman. Within the Sahih of Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala, we find a lengthy narration in which there is a mention of another companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hanzalah radiyallahu ta'ala an. Aur kya shakhsiyati? Honestly, when you sit down and you think about the companions, in every word of every sentence, the only thing you understand is their honor. We have a scholar of the recent past, he was assassinated in Pakistan. Allama Ali Sher Haidari Nawarallahu Marqadahu. He used to frequent the UK. And once he came to his lectures, his lecture wasn't like this. Say whatever comes to your mind and mention whatever you want to know. Before his lecture, he would say, bring me a copy of the glorious Quran. They would hand it to him, take it into his hands. He would open the Quran, and upon whichever page the Quran would open, he would take a verse and establish the greatness of the companions through that verse of the glorious Quran. You see it? Just like some people open the glorious Quran and the only thing they are able to see is, na'udhu billah, mistakes of the prophets. You've got other people who open the Quran and in those same verses find the honor of the prophets. Ye nigah nigah ki baat hai. Ye dil ki safai ki baat hai. It's all about what you want to take. I'll give you an example of this. I'm not mentioning names of people of the past. I'm not mentioning names of the commentaries of the glorious Quran. I'm not mentioning anything. Just as an example, so we can understand that we should open the Quran with the correct understanding, with the correct intention. If we open it with an incorrect intention, we won't be guided. يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا. We will be misguided. Not due to the content of the Quran, due to our approach to understanding the glorious Quran. And it's the same case. We live in a time where our women have been brainwashed that, oh, we look in the Quran and the Quran says this regarding women, the Quran says this regarding women, the Quran says this regarding women. I'll give you one example. The Quran says, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, that remain within your homes. So our women are brainwashed. And how are they brainwashed? Islam and the Quran imprisons you within your home. It doesn't let you leave. You are deprived of all the fun outside the house. That's one approach. That you open the Quran and you look around and you be thinking that, does the Quran deprive us of rights? I'm telling you, if you read the Quran with that approach, you'll find everything you want within the glorious Quran. Not because the Quran mentions that, because you approach the Quran in the incorrect manner. And then you open the Quran with my approach. And my approach is that if any constitution gives women rights, that is the constitution of the Muslims in the form of the glorious Quran. The same verse, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, remain within your homes, O women, will become the reason for why I understand Islam gives women rights. And let me, I don't know where we've gone, honestly speaking, but hopefully I mentioned something beneficial. Now, once it comes to a person being confined to a place, that's what the Quran is mentioning, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. that you are confined to your homes. And what's the conclusion? Confinement means deprivation from what's outside. Conclusion. We say no. Once it comes to confinement, one reason for confinement possibly is deprivation. And another possible reason for confinement is preservation. They're both possibilities. One person will read the verse and he'll say deprivation. Another person will read the verse and he will say no deprivation. We've got verses within the glorious Quran that clearly indicate towards this being preservation of women. Got a young child. And he is confined in a room of the home. Now, just because the child is confined doesn't necessarily mean the sweets outside you're depriving the child of. No, there's a possibility. There's a wasp outside and you're preserving and safeguarding the child from the wasp. Both possibilities. So once it comes to وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, the instruction of women remaining within their homes, it is confinement. But is this confinement to deprive women from the good outside, or is it to confine women from the oppression outside? The Quran itself gives an indication. The Quran mentions, when referring to chaste, pure women, al-muhsanat, pure chaste women. This word chaste women, muhsanat, comes from the roots hisnun, and hisnun refers to a fortress and a castle. The home of a woman is not a prison to deprive her of good outside. It is a fortress and a castle for her to preserve her from the evil outside. The Quran gives the indication in a similar manner. One person will take a verse of the glorious Quran and na'udhu billah, due to his approach, he will conclude that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, na'udhu billah, was a deficient person. He had deficiencies. Some will say na'udhu billah, he sinned, he was not sin-free, he was not infallible. We will say why? They will say, look within the glorious Quran. Allah Ta'ala says to him, لِمَ أَذِنْتَ لَهُمْ, why did you grant certain people permission at a particular moment in time? When Allah Ta'ala is questioning him regarding his action, this now means he's done something wrong. One approach, we say no, 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 no. Take our approach. And our approach is that it's Saifuddin not being close to respecting Mawlana did something wrong. The respected Mawlana would say, Saifuddin, why did you do this? Normal approach. But if I was close to the respected Mawlana and I did something which was a little out of line, because he wouldn't want to hurt my feelings, he will say, why did you do this? But before that, he will say that I didn't mind it. There's a difference in two. Yes? If I wasn't close to him, he wouldn't have that care for my feelings. He'd say, why did you do this? But if I'm close to him, the outcome of that proximity and closeness will be that he will say to me, Saifuddin, I didn't mind, but can I ask why you did this? So when he says to me, I didn't mind first, and then he questions, we understand he is special admi hai, aam admi nahi. Allah Ta'ala in the Quran doesn't say, lima adhinta lahum, why did you grant them permission directly? No, Allah Ta'ala says, afallahu ank, already pardon, don't worry. But the question is, why did you grant them permission? Muhammadun basharun laysa kal bashari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a human, but not like ourselves. Al-yaqutu hajarun laysa kal hajari. Just like a pearl is a stone, but not like any ordinary stone. Farak farak hota hai. You know, those people who say that these guys believe that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a human like us. Question is, what does like us mean? Despite being like us in one aspect of being a human, it's possible there is a great difference in our being a human. I'll give you an example. We pull this mobile out. So I say to you guys that I've got a mobile. Then you've got another guy, he pulls out a Nokia brick from back in the days. He says, I've got a mobile. I won't look at him and say to me, Yar, listen you guys, don't call this a mobile anymore. Why? Because if this is a mobile and that's also a mobile, that will mean that this is like the Nokia brick. No, we won't call it a mobile from now, we'll give it another name. No one's going to agree. They'll say, no, they're both mobiles. But there's difference in mobiles. This is the latest mobile and that is the oldest mobile. In a similar manner, in being human bashariya, then qul, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was told to inform the entirety of the creation, innama ana basharum mithlukum. In being human, we are all equal. But faraq kya hai? Yuha ilay. You walk upon the earth and converse with humans. I walk upon the earth conversing with the Creator. Ye faraq hai. So you read a verse, you will take one conclusion that na'udhu billah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was deficient. I'll read the same verse with my approach and say, no, he was special. You'll read one verse of the Quran with your approach and conclude women have been deprived of their rights, freedom. And I will read the same verse and say, women have been preserved from the evil outside within the community. I was mentioning Alhamdulillah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and this is where the point came from. Some people say, you take your sheikh's name and you mention 8 things after his name. Say for example, my sheikh's name is Muhammad. You say Muhammad damat barakatuhum wa damat fuyuduhum wa mudda dhilluhum, and he just continues on. And once it comes to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, na'udhu billah, you don't give them all those titles, you just say radiyallahu an, and you carry on. If anyone's befitting of all these things after their names, then it should be the companions, not your peer. And if you give it to your peer, then the companion should have at the minimum that much. We say, no, you've not understood. You've not understood. You've got 10 after the name of your peer, but the one alone will outweigh all of them. Damat barakatuhum means, may Allah Ta'ala keep him upon barakah. Damat fuyuduhum means, may Allah Ta'ala keep him spiritual. Mudda dhilluhum means, may Allah Ta'ala keep his spiritual shadow going for a long time. All these things we mention, regardless of the quantity, after the name of a normal pious individual, they mean, may Allah keep you upon good. And once it comes to radiyallahu anhi, it means that you were ever upon good. Farakhe. Companions. Alhamdulillah radiyallahu ta'ala anhi. He was outside upon the streets, and he's saying aloud, nafaqa handala. Handallah has become a hypocrite. Handallah has become a hypocrite. Nabi ka sahabi. Think, where do we stand? Where do we stand? Once it comes to us, we have taken some guarantee of our iman, that iman, bas maut ke waqt ho hi ga hamare paas. It's not such a thing, my brothers. Upon an occasion, I had a discussion with a brother who left Islam. I explained everything. He just wouldn't accept, even though he had no counter. I went to my parents' house, my brother saw me. And he saw me, I was distraught. It kills you from inside because, honestly speaking, I'll tell you, I know 0.1% maybe of the value of iman. So I said to my brother that, you know what, I explained everything, but if you've got it, you've got it. If you've not got it, you've not got it. So he looked at me and he said, younger brother, Alim, he looked at me And he said that there's a reason for why our pious elders cry in their dua asking for a good ending from Allah Ta'ala. There must be a reason. In their du'as, they may not cry in other instances. They may not cry when they say, "Oh Allah Ta'ala, keep me steadfast upon salah." But once it comes to a good ending, khatimah bil khair, they will cry and they will mention it multiple times. Why? Because they've understood what the greatest asset is. And how great of an asset. Even if we just understand this much, my brothers, today, we walk away understanding the value of iman, and thereafter we take steps, this gathering will become the most beneficial gathering within our lives. They understand iman has value. And let me explain through an example. I was walking towards the wudu facility, and we saw those toilet rolls on the hangers. I made a joke to this colleague of mine, and I said, if he was in our masjid, they would have taken him home and sold them all. So another brother was behind, and he goes, "Ah, you're right. Then I said, "Same Nurul Islam." He goes, "Nurul Islam, Bradford." I'm like, "Yeah." I said, "Chalo." So there is some witness here somewhere alongside him. He had those toilet rolls. Yes, they're just on those hangers in open reach, totally visible. There's nothing there securing them. If we take those toilet rolls out of the equation and we bring gold into the equation, would you find gold left unattended in a manner the toilet rolls are? The answer is no. Come to my Bradford, go to Cannon Mills outside Great Houghton Road on the footpath. You've got people and they've got toilet rolls in great numbers, and people are walking past and there is no security. None at all. It's possible a guy walks past and he picks one up and he takes it with him. But when you go to a shop in which there's gold, then everything totally changes. And how does it change? Let me tell you how it changes. Kabhi aadmi phas jata hai. So first you'll get the CCTVs outside and you're already thinking, "Yaar, am I some sort of celebrity or something?" And then you've got a bell, you press the bell, they look through the CCTV, they press a button from inside. You get through the first door only to realize that abhi tak main pahuncha hi nahi, there's another door there. Then they have another good look at the person, that insan hai ya janwar hai, chalo insan hi hai. Then they press another button, you get through the next door. And then you're thinking, is the gold in front of me? No. Gold still not within the reach of your hands yet. If you want to touch the gold, then you'll have to ask them that haath bhi laga sakte hai ya nahi. Why? Why is the difference in that toilet roll and the gold? The difference is that once it comes to the gold, is of great value. Therefore, it's been secured more than the toilet roll. In a similar manner, my brothers, once it comes to our iman, it is so valuable. Allah Ta'ala never connected it to our limbs and kept it in the apparent. He hid it within our chests. Ye iman hai. Elders understand. Elders understand. Pious people understand. But sadly, we don't understand. If we understand before it's too late, it's the greatest blessing ever. So we never think. Do we ever think, na'udhu billah, we can become hidden? No one. We think, guarantee, companion. He's walking around, nafaq, alhamdulillah. I feel like there's some sort of hypocrisy that relates to me. He's walking around, and Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu heard this. And who was he? I want to just mention one point. Some people say he was first during his life, but then he changed, na'udhu billah. We say no. He was first to ever remain the first. Why? He was first once it came to believing from amongst the mature men. He was first to migrate with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the first once it came to contributions such that even Umar radiallahu ta'ala and threw in the towel during his lifetime. Allah ta'ala accepted him being first during the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lifetime in such a manner. He said, I'll place you by him for the first after his demise as well. He's not only first within, he's also first thereafter. And when we say Abu Bakr, it's not his name. His name is Abdullah. I and you don't know his name is Abdullah. I and you know his name is Abu Bakr. Why? Abu Bakr means the person who is the first. Allah Ta'ala accepted his mission in such a manner that we forgot his name and we remember him by his successful mission. If he failed in the mission, Allah would have had Abdullah upon our tongues. He was successful within his mission. We say Abu Bakr pehal karne wala, the guy who was ever first. Kya iman ka kya alam tha? The Quran only mentions the word sahib regarding one companion, and that is Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala an, who was within the cave with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the time of migration. Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala an, number one in iman, he heard this and he started to say that Handala, you, why? He mentioned his reasons. Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala an said, do you know what? I feel like I'm the same as well. Do you know the more you understand the value of something, the more wary you become regarding losing that thing? And one thing I normally mention, it's really sad, but I think it will make us think properly. It will make us think properly. The enemies of Islam have understood the value of Islam more than us. They've understood it. And that's why they've made it such a target. I hope I'm making sense. You've got a thief, and he's got five things to target. He will target the most valuable one. Once it comes to the enemies of Islam, there's many things they can target. And from amongst the Islamic things, the main thing they are targeting is our iman. Why? They've understood the value of it due to which they make it their first target. We've not understood its value due to which we let it go away from us. Abu Bakr said, do you know what? I feel the same. He said, do you know what? The only way we can understand whether our feelings are legitimate or not is by going into the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh, yes, suhbat ka athar. What made the Sahaba so great, ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in? The word Sahaba comes from suhba. Suhba means companionship. What made them great was them going into the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the state of iman and passing away upon iman. Two things: iman, faith, and suhbah, companionship. These are the two main reasons for why the companions were the companions and why they were so great. Why am I mentioning this? Abhi mithal se main samjhata hu. I'm of the understanding a particular person is great. Why am I of the understanding? Because the quality of his salah is amazing. Then we've got another guy who walks in and he says to me, Saifuddin, you respect him. I say, yes. He said, no, we're of the understanding he doesn't deserve respect. I say, why? They say to me, the simple reason is that look at his clothes, they are stained. I will laugh. I will say, if I respected him for his clothes being stainless, and you then told me they had a stain upon them, I would have lost respect. But what my reason of respect is other than what you are presenting for me to lose respect, I will ever maintain respect. Abhi hum samjhenge. You've got people who say regarding the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that in action he did this, in battle he did this, We say to them, we never ever primarily, fundamentally respected companions because of their a'mal. When we say sahabi, har sahabi jannati jannati, why do we say sahabi? Means iman and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's company. Do we ever mention amal inside that? We never mention it. So when amal is not even the reason for why we give them that respect, iman and companionship is, if you want to bring about a decrease in our reverence, respect and honor for the companions, show us a deficiency in iman or companionship. If you show us a deficiency in something else, we will never lose respect for the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's go to the Prophet. They went. Sohbah. They gained everything through sohbah. And it's only the other day, one brother said to me, that, do you know, there's that hadith, it mentions that a person in the morning will be a believer and by evening he will be a disbeliever and vice versa. He said, Afia, can you tell me something to do? I said, you give me an answer to my question and that will answer your question. I said, how did the companions preserve their iman? He says, through the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I said, you will maintain your iman through the company of the inheritors of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does inherit mean? They've got something, haven't they? And what have they got? They've got those tools through the barakah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in inheritance, by which, through the grace of Allah Ta'ala, they can take steps in order to become the means of the preservation of the faith of the masses. They went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is the issue we face. And what was the issue? Basically, when we are within your company, then everything is 101%. And when we leave your blessed company, things become 100%. Once we see this difference from 101 to 100%, we think this change in our state is hypocrisy. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that sa'atan fa sa'atan, you will continuously experience this fluctuation. When you're with me, it will be 101. And when you leave me and become occupied with family and other work-related commitments, it will become 100%. Sa'atan fa sa'atan, the fluctuation will ever remain. Why? He said, because if your iman remained upon 101%, then the angels would come to greet you on the roads of Madinatul Munawwara. Abhi ek samajhne ki baat hai. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention this? The angels will come to meet you. What does this mean? Let's pay attention to this. And I'm finishing now. There's three different types of iman. One is the iman of ourselves, human non-prophets. Our iman fluctuates in quality, sometimes strong, sometimes weak. Obedient, strong, weak, it becomes obedient, strong, and disobedient, it becomes weak. Then we've got the iman of the prophets of Allah Ta'ala, human prophets. The iman is always on the increase, always spiritually progressing. Then you've got the iman of the angels. What is the iman of the angels? It remains constant. It remains constant. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was explaining to them, if you expect your iman to remain constant regardless of your environment, that is the iman of the angels, due to which the humans will no longer meet you, the angels will come from the heavens to start to meet you. My brothers, time is up. Honestly speaking, I mentioned that one word in the first sentence and it went. But the point I'm trying to make is, we've been granted this blessing of iman from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any of our own effort. People have to do much for this blessing. I'm telling you, much they have to do. We've been granted it from birth without any effort. Number one, let's try to understand even further the value of this iman. And once we've understood that this is more valuable than gold, let's now make efforts in order to preserve our iman and the iman of our younger generation like we try to preserve gold or even more than that. No, as soon as you see thieves around, then you become very wary. You start worrying about preservation. My brothers, our younger generation, our children, during the majority of the hours of the day are within a company and an environment in which the iman is at stake all the time. We don't know. Those kids know. If we ask them, they will possibly tell us. We need to become active in this regard before it becomes too late. Too late means that you don't have any concern, and Allah Ta'ala save us all. But it's very, very relevant in this day and age, and very prevalent in this day and age. A child will say, I no longer believe. And that's then too late. If we ensure we're preserving the gold, we won't get to the stage where we say that the gold has been taken away. And once the gold is taken away, the thief knows its value. It's very difficult to get hold of it again. If we worry about iman after the loss of iman, very difficult to get hold of it again. If we worry about it when the thieves are out and about before they get their hands on it, it's only then will we pass away in a manner that never mind Allah Ta'ala will be pleased with ourselves, that we can have some sort of dream regarding success within the hereafter. May Allah Ta'ala grant myself and all the remainder of us the ability. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen. Was salatu was salamu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك الخير كله ونعوذ بك من الشر كله. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة، إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا وبشر المؤمنين بأن لهم من الله فضلا كبيرا ولا تطع الكافرين والمنافقين ودع أذاهم وتوكل على الله وتوكل على الله وكفى بالله وكيلا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. كلا بل تكذبون بالدين وإن عليكم لحافظين كراما كاتبين يعلمون ما تفعلون إن الأبرار لفي نعيم وإن الفجار لفي جحيم يصلونها يوم الدين وما هم عنها بغائبين وما أدراك ما يوم الدين ثم ما أدراك ما يوم الدين يوم لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا والأمر يومئذ لله. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله Allahu Akbar. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام وتباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم أعنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت. اللهم نقنا عذابك يوم تبعث عبادك. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمة.